Pleasure to be here, and the first thing I want to tell you, it's an honor to be here. Anytime I can come into this church in particular. And when Pastor asked me if I would speak Sunday, I wasn't as prepared as I should have been, but I made a commitment to God a long time ago that if He would provide a place for me, that I would go. So I had to feel that commitment. So I'm here today, and I'm not a preacher by trade. I don't talk like a preacher. I don't have a preacher voice, and I apologize for that. I didn't wear a suit. If you ask me if I'm here to preach to you something today or teach you something today, I'm just telling you I'm going to be real with you and try to tell you what God has unveiled to me. And I want to preach this message to you. It's called, How Are You Connected? And I found myself connected for the majority of my life in two ways. By what I do, or by what somebody else can do for me. And I have some scriptures here for you that we're going to break this down by. But I just want to tell you that we live in a world that is it's different. Everywhere you go, it's different. People believe different things in different places. People believe different things in the same place. So it's hard to find somebody somewhere that you can truly connect with. It's difficult for some people. For some people, it's relatively easy. People who are outgoing often find themselves connected with people who are outgoing. People who are hermits or not as outgoing typically find themselves surrounded by people like themselves. And I think all of us can agree with that. We like to, birds of a feather flock together. We live in a world that says you can find love by somebody gives you a rose, if somebody chooses you. We see that on TV. We see that throughout our lives. We see it, the divorce rates are higher than they've ever been and will continue to be. Unless people understand that it's not about what somebody can do for you, only about what you can do for somebody. So what I want to talk about first is, the first connection is what we do for God, right? Some of us came here today to church because our mama brought us here since we were a child. Or maybe it's because somebody invited me, I came and I enjoyed it. Some of you came because you sing in the choir. Or maybe you came because you live in the Bible Belt and you came to church your whole life. Many of us attend church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Some come once a week. Some come every now and then. But we come for a reason. What is that reason? Why are we here? Why do we come to a building with other people? It's probably because we're connected with those other people by one thing. First of all, we're all connected. We're in this building. We're at church. Many of y'all will give an offering today or did give an offering and will continue to do so. Some of you do it when it's convenient. Some of you do it when you have extra money. I'm not here today to preach to you about offerings, but it connects you to something. I've done this for you, God. I came to church for you, God. I did it for you. So now I have found a connection between me and God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, by what I've done for Him. I came in this building. I put on the right clothes. I prepared myself. Lord, I'm ready to give you an hour or 2 hours of my week, and that's going to be enough for me. I gave it to you, Lord. It's enough to satisfy myself to know that I am in right relationship with you. Because I came here, I did what it takes. Lord, I'm at church, I sing in the choir, I serve on this committee, I serve on that committee. I even said something about Jesus at work this week. We are connected by what we do. Like I said, many of us find ourselves connected with other people by commonalities. I find myself connected with people by commonalities. One of those is we'll find we have hobbies. One of my hobbies is I like to hunt. So come about September of this year, I'll find myself calling people that I won't talk to all year long. Why is that? Because October is about to be here and bow season is about to open up. Right? Same with golf. I have people that I golf with. Guess when I see them? When I'm at the golf course. That's the only time I see those people. Only time I connect with them. The only connection that I have with those people is by one commonality. All right? Many of us find ourselves in connection with God by one thing. That may be a church. That may be a meeting. That may be some prayer service. But the point is that we find ourselves connected with God by what we do for Him. All right? Now, that relationship that I have with this person, I have a good friend in Missouri. His name is Tim. He's a big hunter. He kills big deer every year. And I'll find myself on the phone with him from the months of October to January. We'll talk. We'll send back and forth emails. We'll tell deer stories and duck hunting stories. But our relationship will never grow beyond that. We'll never grow beyond that. All we will be connected by is one common thing that we both enjoy. We both enjoy it. We both like it. But we will never grow closer together in that cause. Is there any way possible? That's true. Well, I found myself, been married 3 years, a week or two ago, and I can tell you that if I'm connected with my wife by one common cause, then we won't grow very close together. All we will do is be connected by that one thing. All we will talk about is that one thing. All we will do together is that one thing. I can tell you that our relationship will never grow to the level that a husband and wife relationship is supposed to grow. I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew 23:5-7. It says this, and this is what Jesus says. It says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called men of Rabbi." We love to be seen as though we have it all together. We love to put on the right clothes, go to the right places, even say the right thing most of the time, to let other people know that we are connected with God. We look as though we are connected, even though we truly aren't. The truth is, God's Word says we got to be connected with Him more than that, much more than that. The truth is, He wants us to be in a right relationship with Him. And it involves more than us just doing, putting on the facade of what he demands. And we'll get more into that in just a second. I find myself connected with many people and with God by what I do for Him most of the time. The second way I find myself connected with God and with other people is service. What can people do for me? What can God do for me? And a lot of times I think God should do for me because I have done for Him. The same with relationships with other people. And that word we use to describe that is service. What can be done for us? And there are a lot of words associated with service, such as military. I've done my service to my country. I've finished my service in the military. You take your automobile or your motorcycle to the place, you get it serviced. I mean, somebody went in there and they fixed it or they changed your oil. You may have room service catered to your room. You may have a house cleaning service come to your house and clean your home. There are many different types of service. And a lot of times our happiness, us being satisfied, depends on the service that we receive. Josh plays the guitar, for he is a service man by trade. That's what he does for a living. So this is a tool kit that a lot of servicemen may use. We'll say Joel over here, his air conditioner's going out in his house, and he calls the HVAC serviceman. He shows up to his house, knocks on the door, and says, "Hey Joel, I'm here to look at your air conditioner." He goes out to his truck, gets his tools, and says, "It's right around the corner out here." He goes out and he takes the cover off the unit, he makes tests on it, and he services that unit, knocks back on the door. "Joel, I got you all fixed up. Here's the bill. Appreciate it." And shake his hand. And he leaves. And one of two things will happen. Either that air conditioner will be fixed and work properly, or it won't. Right? I dropped my mic. So if it's fixed and it works properly, it will Joel will be satisfied with his service that he received. On the other hand, if it's not, I tell you what, you can't get nobody to fix nothing right the first time. How many of you here said that? I say it all the time. Because I get very upset when the service that I receive is not what I expect it to be. And a lot of times we attend a church service and expect God to give us something. Expect God to give us something because we gave an offering plate. We expect God to give us a service when we come here. Maybe to lift us up, to make us feel better, to make us feel like we've done the right thing, like we've done. Make us feel like we are in right relationship with Him. You go to a restaurant, the first thing you're going to experience in that restaurant, long before you get your food, is the service. Right? If you say, man, I'm about to die first, will you bring me a big glass of sweet tea, please, your waiter or waitress? And they bring you a little glass like this tall and don't put you no picture on the table. You get, man, I tell you what, I'm just down on that. Now you got to wait 5 more minutes to get a sweet tea. It doesn't take long for your perception of that place to be changed by the service that you receive. All right? If I tell my wife before I leave for work in the morning, maybe I want meatloaf for dinner tonight. Okay? And we'll make a lot of gravy. I'm going to put some gravy. You know, just be very detailed about the service that I want her to give to me when I come home from work or wherever it may be. And I come home, get that meatloaf ready? All right, I'm going to get it put on my plate, go in there, turn TV on, watch the sports channel or the outdoor channel or whatever, eat that meatloaf. And guess what? Our relationship is not going to grow because I expect her to do something for me. Right? She's going to very, very quickly be not very happy with me. Right? She's going to get tired of serving me when I come home, cram the food down my throat, and go on and do what I want to do and expect that service. And if you go to a restaurant and you get good service, man, anybody been to a place that got good service? Me and Jennifer used to eat at this place and when we lived in Missouri and they'd come by with a little squeegee on your, if you drop, man, I'm going to drop stuff on my plate. They don't make a plate big enough for me because I just slide it all around and get all over the tablecloth. And they'd come by and scrape that food off your plate, put it in their hand, go throw it in the trash. The service was just perfect. The food could be terrible, and you would say, "That's the best place I've ever ate," because the service is so good. But a lot of times we wouldn't finish our meal, and they'd put it in a to-go box. They'd even take it back in the kitchen and box it up for you. And when you got home the next day, and you got that plate out, and you put it in the microwave, and you got ready to eat it, guess what? Those leftovers from the night before didn't seem quite as good as they were, right? The leftovers never seem quite as good as they are when they're fresh. And when they're perfect, and when somebody has served them to you. So what I want to tell you is that a lot of times we give a lot of thought into what we can receive from other people, maybe from our job, from our relationships with others, and from church. We were so busy wondering what we can get out of this that we leave leftovers to give back to God. And we shouldn't do that as a church. And I can tell you, the church today is lukewarm. And if you've been a Christian very long, if you studied God's Word very long, you understand that lukewarm is a term that's termed in Revelation, and it says God will literally spit you out of His mouth if you are neither hot nor cold. And we live in a society that tells us it's all right to be lukewarm. All you got to do is go to church, give a little to God, and get a little from God. That's all you got to do. And the world and the church in this world today will deem you radical, will deem you crazy, will deem you over-religious if you literally take God's Word and apply it to your life and do what it says. The world will tell you that you're crazy. The world will tell you that you're radical. The world will tell you that's not fit for church. But in James 1 and 22, it tells us to take God's Word literal and do His Word as it says. Do it. It says, be doers of the Word deliberately. Do exactly what I tell you to do. So we understand that service is actually a good word. We were required as Christians, we were required as people to do a good service to others. A lot of times I find myself in a position to do a good service, and I'll say, Man, I'll do this to this guy. I know his daddy got about 400 acres over in Smith County. It's loaded with turkeys. I'm going to do a lot of stuff for this guy. You know why? Because I want something out of it. And a lot of times it's easy to put on that fake service suit and say, I'm going to give you some service, and I'm going to serve you. That's what God calls us to do, is to serve Him. And service to our military is an honorable thing. We just got done having Memorial Day a little over a month ago, or a month or so ago, and the people that serve our country, that's all our heroes. And we understand that. Most of us Americans understand that our freedom in this country is bought with a price, and that price is service. People left their families, left their homes, and fought for our freedom. In service for us. Did it cost them something? You're absolutely right, it did. It cost them a lot. It cost most of them everything. And a lot of times we don't understand that word service. We look at it as Christians, as a church, as what can I get for me today? So I've lived most of my relationships in my life wondering what can be given to me or what I can give to somebody. And usually it's a trade-off. If I'm going to give to you, what are you going to give to me? I'll do this if you'll do this for me. And me and Jennifer, we'll make deals a lot of times. I'll do this part of the cleaning the house or do this if you'll do that. And usually she gets the wrong end of the deal because she's usually trying to talk me into something like washing the dishes or something I don't want to do. But she usually does a lot more than I have to do. But until I understood a concept a year or so ago about what a right relationship with God is supposed to look like, I couldn't get out of that mentality of the service mentality. I'm going to go to church and it's a good thing because I was doing things for God, but it began to be something that didn't necessarily separate me from God, but didn't get me any closer to Him. And so I had to understand a concept of what a relationship that goes further beyond a commonality or something that I can do for you or you for me. How can you move beyond that? And what I understood to begin to understand that is it's a personal relationship. You have to be personal. And a word that describes that best is intimacy. And say, what is intimacy? Now, I can't come up here and preach you a message on intimacy like Pastor can, because he is a studier of God's Word and God's intimate relationship with us. I can only tell you what I've experienced in my life. And I understand that the first aspect of intimacy is very important, and you can never have it without this. And it's time. If you don't give it the time, a relationship will never grow. It will never go further than beyond the time that you put in it. When me and Jennifer were in high school and we began to date, guess what? It cost me some time. I had to prepare dates. I had to say, let's go out this night. And as our relationship grew, guess what else grew? The commitment of time. Now we're married and we spend a lot of time together, and we hope to spend a lot more time together. But I can tell you this, that the one thing that draws us closer together, it don't matter if we're going shopping, if she goes fishing with me, if we're sitting there and watching the TV, as long as we're spending time together, our relationship begins to grow. And that's very, very important that we spend that time with God. You say, how do I spend time with God? God says, pray without ceasing. That means talk to Him always. Refer to Him in every situation. He'll guide you. But it's still a lot more to it than that. You can't just say, okay, God, we'll give you 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. And that's good. We should do that. We should give God every opportunity to draw closer to Him in His Word that we can. But it still goes further than that. It's Father's Day, and I'm going to make a mention of how this comes together with my relationship with my father. When I was a young man, 15 or 16, he bought me a vehicle. And I had a little job. I was cutting grass at the country club and rode mowers all the time. But I needed a chance to make more money, so he took me down to the Snapper place where I think Mississippi Glass or something is now. I remember he used to have a Snapper place there, and he bought me a weed eater. Went to Walmart and bought me a couple of gas cans and a push mower. And he let me use his trailer and his lawnmower, and he helped me get a couple of yards to cut. And I cut that grass. Now, my daddy spent a fairly significant amount of money invested in me to be able to have that opportunity. Isn't that right? But what happened there is that I would go cut grass, and they'd pay me $35, $25, depending on the yard. I'd have four or five I would cut a week. And I'd put all that money in my pocket, right? And my father never asked me one time, hey, I need 10% of that because you're using all my equipment. Or I need 90% of that because you're using all my equipment. He never asked for one dime of that. I didn't understand when I was 15 or when I was 18, but I understand today that I don't love him because he did those things for me. Because he did a lot more than that for me and for all my brothers, put us through college, helped us buy homes. He's a big reason I'm at where I am today. But he did those things for me because he loved me. And I understand that I don't have that relationship with him because of the things that I receive from him. I have that relationship with him because of who he is. Not for what he's done for me, but for who he is as a person. And I never would understand that. And a lot of people look and say, you know, your daddy just gives you anything you want. No, you don't know my father. You don't know my father. And we look at the Heavenly Father like that and we say, Jesus, I need this from you, Jesus. And he says in John 10:10, it says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He's a good shepherd. He says he comes that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. I promise you there's not a father in this room that loves their son or their daughter that says, I want worse for you than you want it, than I want for myself. A father always wants his son or his daughter to have more than they have, to have better opportunities than they have, to live a better life than they have lived. The best part of Scripture I have today is in Ruth 1:15-17. So if my earthly father can love me enough to purchase things for me, to see that I have food on the table as I was growing up, and all of you fathers as well, to provide for your children, how much more is the Creator of the universe going to provide for me? How much more? In Ruth it says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. What's happening here is there's a woman by the name of Naomi. And her and her husband and her two sons, they moved to a different place. They moved off. Her husband died, her two sons died, and she was left, Naomi, with two daughter-in-laws. And she told them both, go back to your people. Go back to your home and be with your family. She released them. She had one that left her, that went home, went back to her people. And Ruth wouldn't go. Roll them out over to 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return following after thee. For wherever I'll go, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. That's what God longs from us. He don't want our relationship with Him to be contingent upon the service that we receive from Him, the blessings that we receive from Him. He wants our relationship to be with Him to go, Father, wherever you take me, I will go. Wherever you put me, that's where I'll be. Wherever you set my feet at, Father, that's where I'll serve you. He wants to have the mentality that Ruth had. He'd say, well, what's important about this scripture? What happens to Ruth? Ruth, they moved back, her and Naomi. She stayed by her side just like she committed to. She said, Ruth even said to Naomi, wherever they put you in the dirt, that's where they'll put me in the dirt. Ruth went on and she married a political man of importance in their community, a leader. And she had a son by the name of Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. What's important about that? The father, the David, Jesus comes from the line of David. You hear him say he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the son of David. Her commitment, her unfailing commitment tied her to Jesus Christ. Tied her to the lineage of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? We already have an opportunity to be in the line of Jesus Christ. Adopted into the vine, grafted into the vine. And the way that happens is Jesus came and He died for our sins and for your sins and for everybody's sins and says, you can come home and you can live with me forever. And we understand that as Christians, most people in this church that got up at 8:30 to come to church understand that Jesus died for my sins. But what goes beyond that? What goes beyond that? I can tell you this. When I found myself lukewarm, find myself being served or in service, how could I go further than that? I found myself serving a God that I know could do anything, but why can't I get Him to do anything? Why does it seem like He's not doing anything for me? It's because I was hung up on what He can do for me or what I can do for Him. And this is what I had to understand. I began to ask God, I got to get out of this rut. I know everybody in here has been in a rut, whether it's in your business, it's in your work life, or it's in your spiritual life. I got to get out of this rut, and I struggled for a long period of time. God, please just help me. Take me back to where I used to be, Father. Make me on fire for You. Why can't I do the things that I used to do with the same passion? And I began to understand this. One thing we're going to always ask about somebody if we don't know who they are. If you're trying to find out something, say, I don't know Joel. And I meet him and I want to know some more about him. I'll say, Kenny, you know Joel, right? Who is his father? Who's his mother? Where does he come from? So when I began to understand, I can't get out of this rut, I had to understand more about who God is. And so I asked myself, God, who are You? What do You do? I mean, I ask myself that today. And the best word that I could find to describe Him at that time and the need for my life was He is a creator. God, You created this universe. Who made You, God? There is none that made You. You are the creator. And so I asked God, I said, God, I don't want to be who I used to be. I don't want to be something different. I don't want to be on fire like I used to be. God, create something new in me. Make something new in my life. And He began to give me different types of vision into things and give me a more passion about it. And it's not because of what He did for me. It's not because He gave me a house. It's not because He gave me a wife. It's not because He blessed me. It's because of who He is. That's why I want to be with Him. Because He is the creator of the universe. Because He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created the thing that grows in plants that make it green. He created the oxygen that we breathe. He created animals that can breathe under the water. Why? I don't know why He did it, but I know He can do it. And I know He can do more things than that. And the reason I know that is because of His Word, that is the truth. And you say, what is the truth? You hear a lot of people say that. There'll be people who spend their life seeking the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the only thing in the universe that can never be changed. It can never change, never will be changed in the past, present, or future. It will always stay the same. And that one thing that will only apply to that definition is the Word of God. God says, I am the Word of One. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I began to understand that the truth of this world does not revolve around what I can get from this church service, what I can get from this song, what I can get by singing this song. It revolves around me being in an intimate relationship with Christ, with God. And what I want you to understand today is you may need to search your soul, you may need to search your life and say, Father, Jesus, I know You saved me. I know You died on the cross. I'm not intimate with You. I understand that You're going to bless me, that I receive things from You, God. But I want to be in a relationship with You, Jesus, that says, Father, wherever You go, I'm going to go. Father, Wherever you put my feet, that's where I'm going to be. I'm not going to leave you. You'll hear people say all the time, well, she says she's getting ready to go. I'm packing my bag, I'm going with her. She ain't leaving. My wife ain't going to leave me. I'm just going to go with her. And that's joking around, but a lot of times we expect our husbands, our wives, our friends to come over to our house and be a service technician and give us what we want from them. Right? And a lot of times we expect that from God. With God, I go to church. I pay my tithes. I try to do the right thing in every way possible. God, I even teach Sunday school. How come I can't pay these bills, God? Well, what's the deal here? Well, what we should say is, God, you created the universe. Money is no problem for the Creator. Father, I'm going to believe in you that you will help me, and I'll do everything I can do to make this work, God. Create in me something, God, that no man can take away. Father, make it new in me, Father. I know that you can do it. You are the Creator of the universe. You're the Creator of this world. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I even knew you. I even knew what you were going to be. I even knew the struggles you were going to have. I even knew where you were going to end up. One common thing we all should have at all times is eternity. And as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, we're going to say, God, I want to get to heaven. God, I want to be with you in heaven. But that should not be our number one priority while we're here on this earth. Our number one priority on this earth is telling everybody, even if they know Him or don't know Him, who God is, who He really is. Not going somewhere and saying, you know what, God bless me with this, God bless me with that. But you know what, I ain't got no blessing in my life. I'm going to go to church when I want to. That's not a right relationship with God. And you can say that the world deems it okay, and it does. There are many churches today that expect you to show up to church and just say the right thing. Just do the right thing. Just look the right way. But that's not what God wants us to be. God says, come to me as you are, and He will bless you. This message to me is it's impacted my life in a way that I can't tell you about it, because the same way as that a relationship with someone is intimate, is that I can't use the words to describe what God has truly let me understand about Him. There's no words in this earth. The Bible even says that there's not holy words that you can honor Him with that describes His glory and His grace. But I can tell you today that if you will give Him that one aspect it takes to grow intimate, and that's time. If you'll spend that time with Him. When I was a young boy growing up, my father spent a lot of time with us. He taught us to fish and to hunt. And as we got jobs, I can remember I had a job one time that was terrible. Man, I hated this job. I worked like a slave, wasn't making no money. Hated it, wasn't learning nothing. My father told me, he said, son, you can do anything for a summer. You ain't quitting that job. Ain't no way you gonna quit. And it don't matter if that guy was out there cracking a whip on my back. Literally. You ain't quitting that job. You can do anything for a summer. So He distilled those work ethics in me the same way as my Heavenly Father. But unless I give Him the time, I won't hear Him when He tells me. I listen to my Father because I know He's not going to lead me in the wrong way. When I was growing up, and still to this day, when I come to Him and I need advice, I say, Father, what do I need to do, Dad? What do I need to do about this? Well, you need to take all things into consideration. He'll give me advice. And He'll give me the advice that He truly believes will not lead me in the wrong way. And if my earthly father would do that, how much more is my heavenly Father going to guide me through this thing we call life? He's going to guide me in a way that nobody on this earth can. It says He is the way, the truth, and the light. He is the only thing in this world that will never change. And I want to say this in closing, is that if you don't have that intimate relationship with God, all you got to do is get Him the time. And that doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to read this one little chapter right here and I'm going to close my Bible and go back to my day. It's not about the reading. If I just go to my wife and say, we're going to go shopping, and we run to the Walmart or we run to Dogwood Mall, or we do all those things, and I just walk around with her like this, and I'm here. We an old lady. We walk around. I'm here. I'm with you. We got time. We spend time with you. I'm on my cell phone every 5 minutes. I'm here. Spending time with you. We're having fun, ain't we? Ain't you happy now? Spend time with you. When we get back home, I really will do whatever it is that was on my agenda. Did I really spend any of that time that's going to grow us more intimately in love together? That time has got to be spent in a way that is the desire of a heart. You can't just make it up. You can't just say, all right, this is the time that I have for you. You got to say, Father, I long to be with you. When me and my wife go somewhere, I have to long to be with her. I have to yearn for her. She wants to know that I need her more than anything on this earth. That's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He says, and love your wife as Jesus loved the church. If you take that perfect picture, and Jesus loves us in such a way that He says, I yearn for you. He says He yearns for us more so than we could ever yearn or want to be with Him. So I want you to take that into consideration this next week. As you go and you receive blessings from God, and you have opportunities to bless, remember that it does not happen, that it does not come to you because of what you've done or what's been done to you, but it comes to you because of who you serve, the Creator God, the Almighty. And the Bible says all types of different words that describe Him, and we understand that He is majesty, that He is great, He receives all glory. And I'm going to close with a prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this opportunity, Father. And I thank You, first of all, Father, for who You are. Father, I thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die and forgive us for our sins, Father. So there's no thing that we could ever do, Father, that will repay You. Our forgiveness cannot be bought and it cannot be purchased. Father, give us this day a new heart. Father, give us this day creating something in us, Father, that desires and longs and yearns to be with You, Father, in an unseparated relationship, Father. Let us grow closer to You to be like You. Father, we know that Your Word says that Jesus did great things, Father, and that we can do even greater things. Father, let us be in relationship with You in such a way, Father, that there is no obstacle that we can't bring to You, Father, and we understand that You will guide us through. Take us safely, Father. Let us be understanding on this Father's Day, Father, that not all people have that right relationship with their earthly Father or their Heavenly Father. Father, but with You, Jesus, the Heavenly Father, they can have a relationship with You, Father, that does not compare to anything on this earth. I thank You and I praise You, Jesus. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.